you to take the Word of God with me, please. Turn to the book of Luke, chapter 16, the book of Luke, chapter number 16. We'll take a break from our series this morning and tonight for the Lord guiding in a different direction. Luke, chapter 16, we'll begin our reading in verse number 19, Luke 16, verse 19. The Word of God says, "There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. It came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. In hell he lift up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off, Lazarus in his bosom. He cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me and send Lazarus. He may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus' evil things. But now he's comforted, thou art tormented. Beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, They have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Now, if you're in the habit of marking your Bible, I want you to mark two phrases. One of them is found in verse 19. One of them is found in verse 20. The phrase in verse 19 is a certain rich man. The phrase in verse 20 is a certain beggar. And I want to preach to you this morning on this topic, two rich beggars. Two rich beggars. Let's pray together. I want to share this thought with you. Father, we love you this morning. We thank you for the privilege of just bowing our heads and coming to you. I need your help. Strengthen my body. May the will of God be done this morning. And I pray that you forgive my sins. Help me to be a clean vessel for you to flow through. May you be hindered none at all today. Remove all hindrances, and may you be honored and glorified in everything that's said and done. May you defeat Satan, his evil spirits, and Lord, we pray if somebody's lost that you'll save them this morning, change their life, and encourage we who are saved to get a fresh burden for souls, realizing that this place called hell is a real place. Help us now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. In the story before us, there are two main characters discussed. The rich man and the beggar by the name of Lazarus. But if you'll understand, one of them in this life was rich, the other one in this life was a beggar. But when we go into eternity, we realize that the rich man in eternity became a beggar. But the beggar in this life became a rich man. And we're going to look at this together as we consider two rich beggars. Now, in this story is found the most sobering and serious doctrine, in my opinion, in the Word of God. Now, all the doctrines are serious, but what I mean, I'm talking about eye-opening, sobering. It is the doctrine of hell. Now, I'll be honest with you, I do not enjoy preaching on hell. But to be true to God's holy word, I must preach on it when God lays it on my heart. You know, I'd be a dishonest, disloyal preacher of God's word if I did not preach on what the Bible clearly teaches on this place called hell. And let's dig in this morning and see what God is saying as we consider a rich man who in reality was very, very poor and a beggar who in reality was very, very rich. And I want to look at this together. First of all, let's notice the contrast together. Now in verses 19 through 21, let's read it again. It says, There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. There was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores, desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Now, in these three verses, I see a major contrast between these two men in this life. Here's two separate men on this earth who were as different as night from day. Let me explain. In verse number 19, the Bible says the rich man was rich. Yet in verse number 20, the beggar was poor. In verse number 19, the rich man was clothed in purple, which was an expensive or a splendid piece of clothing. It was worn only by princes, only by the very wealthy, and only by nobles. But yet in verse 20, we see the beggars laid at his gate and had to be carried everywhere he went. In verse number 19, we see the rich man was clothed in fine linen.
which was much sought after article of luxury. It was only worn by those who could afford it. Yet in verse number 21, we see the beggar was full of sores that were open and running all the time. In verse number 19, we see that the rich man fared sumptuously. What that means is that he feasted, or he lived in a splendid manner. His table was always full, and he had every sensual enjoyment at his table. Yet in verse 21, the beggar was desiring the crumbs which fell from this rich man's table. We see in verse number 19 that this rich man lived this way every day of his life. Yet in verse number 21, we see the beggar had dogs coming by to take care of his sores. I'm saying all that to say this, as you can well see, the contrast is obvious between these two men. In this life, they were so different. Now listen, folks, let me say this to you. There's nothing wrong with being rich. That's not what I'm preaching on. But I'm trying to show you something that God is showing us really where the true riches are. It's not in this life. It's in the life to come. Somebody ought to say amen right there. Number one, the contrast. Number two, we see the certainty. Now, this is brought out in verses 22 and 23. Notice it. It came to pass the beggar died, was carried by the angels in Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torment, seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. Now, if you'll notice, the Bible says in verse 22 that the beggar died. The same verse, the Word of God tells us, the rich man also died. Now in this I see a certainty. And the certainty is everybody's going to die if the Lord doesn't come back. Now he's coming back, I'm saying, within your allotted time. If he doesn't come back, you're going to die. That is a certainty. Now I want to look at these deaths just a moment and notice the contrast even in their death. Let's look at the beggar first. The Bible says in verse 22 that he was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now down here he needed human hands to carry him around. But when death came, the angels picked him up and ushered him into glory. Isn't that a beautiful thought? The Bible says in verse number 25 that he is comforted. Yet in this life he had sores open and running that the dogs had to come by and lick. Here's the point I'm trying to make. This rich man, this beggar here, who was really rich in eternity, he found out when he closed his eyes just how rich he really was. You know, there's a little girl who was walking, it was one evening, a beautiful evening, stars were out shining brightly. She's walking with her daddy. And all of a sudden this little girl was overheard to say, "Daddy, if the wrong side of heaven is so beautiful, what must the right side look like?" And I'm going to tell you something. I'm excited that one day I'm going to see heaven. I'm excited about that. I'm excited that heaven's a real place. And if you have turmoil in this life, or if you have triumph in this life, it doesn't really matter. Really, all that matters is when you die, where are you going? And if you're going to heaven, that is the main thing in life. May I say that even though he was a beggar in life, in reality, he was very rich. And if you're truly a child of God, you're the richest person alive. I'm going to ask you how much money you have in your pocket. But if you have Jesus Christ in your heart, that makes you rich, my friend. You're not a pauper. You have the King of Kings inside you. That's a great thought, isn't it? Well, looking at this certainty that the beggar died, but then the Bible says the rich man also died. Now notice this. The Bible says the rich man also died and was buried. If you'll notice, the poor beggar didn't have this mention about it, because probably he didn't have a big funeral. But it's mentioned that the rich man was buried. And what I'm saying to you is this. Even though he may have had a big funeral, the Bible clearly tells us in verse 23 that he went to hell. Now, I didn't say it. God did. You know, 67% of Americans, this has probably drastically dropped, but when I put this message together, 67% of Americans believe in hell. But less than 25% believe they'll go there. Did you hear what I just said? 67% believe that there is a place called hell, but less than 25% believe that they're going there when they die. You know what that means? That's calling God a liar, folks. Anybody who does not know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior, they will go to this awful place. And I say that with all the love of my heart. By the way, let me just say this right here.
Some people think that this is hateful preaching. This is unloving preaching. Somebody who says that does not know the Bible very well. Let me explain to you what I mean. Let's just say that there is a restaurant in the area who's serving poisonous food, and if you go into it, it's dead. I'm talking about you're going to die. If you eat that food, you're going to die. Let me ask you a question. Would you want me just to get up and say, there's a restaurant in the area that's serving poisonous food. I sure hope you don't go to it this afternoon. No, if I know facts, what do you want me to tell you? You want me to tell you the name of the place, which one it is? You want me to tell you what kind of food's poisonous? Why? Because your health's at stake. Are you listening to me? The Word of God plainly teaches us that there's a place called hell. It wasn't prepared for you. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. But the Bible plainly teaches anybody who does not have their names written in the Lamb's Book of Life, they will go to this place. Folks, that is loving preaching when somebody tells you that. That's love. It's love when somebody looks you right in the face and gives you the truth. You see what I'm saying? And I'm telling you this morning that if you're under the sound of my voice and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, it will not be God that sends you to hell. It'll be yourself. Because God sent His Son to die in your place so you would not have to go there. There's the love of God. There's the love of God that He says, if you accept Him, this is His grace. You can go to heaven. You reject Him, you go to hell. That's His justice. But He is loving in that He tells you what you can do so you don't have to go to a place like that. I'm tired of people blaming God, saying God is not that's a hateful God. I don't want to serve a God like that. I don't serve a God like that. I serve a God who prepared the way so I don't have to go to that place called hell. The certainty is that everybody dies. If you know Jesus, you're going to heaven. If you do not, you're going to hell. But it can change before you sit up today. I'm talking about get up and get out and go home. You might come in here lost. You can leave on your way to heaven. That is the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ. This rich man died. He went to hell. It's interesting that on earth they had a very, very large contrast. But in eternity, it was a large one. They switched places. Let me ask you a question. Would you rather be rich here or rich there? Now, there's nothing wrong with being rich in both places. So don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But there is a teaching and all this other kind of stuff and a mindset going on around the world that if you trust God, you've got to give that up, give that up, give that up, give that up. What they don't understand is when they trust God, God gives them the desire to give those things up. Because He wants to put other things in, that's really what you're searching for in the first place. And all I'm saying to you is that the world says, be rich, be rich, be rich. Get everything you can get. But if you die and you've never trusted Christ, even though you might have all the riches in this life, you're going to be a beggar for all eternity. That's a powerful thought, folks. It's a certainty. His name was Ray. Ray had been in a coma for 4 days. He hadn't moved or anything, hadn't opened his eyes. His wife was with him. When all of a sudden they say Ray, who hadn't moved in 4 days, sat up in the bed just like a bolt and looked down at the foot of his bed and grabbed the sides of his bed like he saw something and said, no, I'm not going. I will not go. No, I will not go. And before long, he collapsed back in his bed and he died. Now, I don't know what he saw. Be frank with you, I don't want to know what he saw. But when it came knocking, it was a certainty he was going. Now I love you. God knows I love you. And I'm going to be honest with you. There's a part of me that wishes I could travel the world and I'm talking about just place to 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 country to country to country to country and just gather people and say, Jesus saves. Jesus saves. We've sinned, but God has paid the ransom. I'm telling you, it's my burden, and it's the burden of the Lord Jesus Christ this morning to let you know that you have a date with death. And if you die without Christ, it's hell. If you die with Him, it's heaven. And you're rich for all eternity. Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die. But after this, the judgment. Now, by the way, I know you didn't wake up this morning and say, honey, let's go hear about how we're going to die. Honey, let's go hear all this truth that there's a literal burning hell. Probably nobody ever thought that. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. We need more preaching like this around America. Now, I'm not lifting myself up. I'm just giving the facts. There is a real hell. I didn't say it. God told us. And he's trying to keep people from going. Job 30:23, for I know that thou wilt bring me to death and to the house appointed for all living. Number one, we've noticed the contrast. Number two, we've noticed the certainty. You're going to die. The beggar died. He was a Christian, but it didn't stop death. He died. At the same time, the rich man died too. There's a certainty in that. Then number three, this is really my message here today. A contrast, a certainty, and number three, a conversation. In verses 24 to 31, it's interesting to note that when these men died, it was not the end. I dealt with a man down in Florida when we were out on visitation with the kids. And this man looked at me, and he said, that's your belief. When I was talking about heaven and Jesus is the only way. And he said, what's going to happen to me? He said, they're just going to put my body 6 feet under, and it's going to be the end of me. That's not what the Bible teaches. And you say, Jody, is the Bible accurate? Come prove it if it's not. This is God's word, folks. And it's interesting here that the Lord has opened eternity for us. If you ever want to look into eternity, you ever want to see what's there, well, God has done this for us. See, this is not a parable. Let me explain. This is a literal event that took place. The reason we know that is true is because anytime the Lord used specific names, he was speaking of a literal event that took place. A parable was just some kind of like an illustration to teach a point. But this is a literal story that took place. We know it's real because he used the name Lazarus. He used the name Moses and the prophets. He used the name Abraham. He said a certain rich man. Here's what I'm saying. This rich man from Luke chapter 16 is still burning alive under our feet this morning. He's still there. He's still burning. And Lazarus, he's still where he needs to be. Isn't that great? For Lazarus, terrible for the rich man. And what God has done for us is he has opened up eternity and he lets us listen in on a conversation. This rich man's having a conversation with Abraham, and God has recorded this so we can listen in on it. Now, as we listen closely, there's five things I hear. There's five things I hear in this conversation. And I'm saying this. First of all, I hear a painful cry. You see this in verse number 24. Look at it. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. And send Lazarus, he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. This man was in constant torment, constant pain, constant anguish. And understand that the beggar was begging for crumbs in this life, but this man is begging for one drop of water in all eternity. He had his table faring sumptuously every day. He had every kind of luxurious thing that you can imagine. He had all the meat that you could eat. But yet in eternity, he just wanted one single drop of water. That's it. M.F. Rich said this. Who's he? He was an atheist until he was dying. And when he was dying, here's what he said, and I quote, I would rather lie on a stove and broil for 1,000,000 years then go into eternity with the eternal horrors that hang over my soul. I have given my immortality for gold, and its weight sinks me into an endless, hopeless, helpless hell. That's an atheist. Somebody who lived his life saying, I don't even believe in God. I don't even believe in God. That's just a bunch of poppycock. I don't believe in God. There's no God. There's no God. But when he was taking his last breath, he changed his tune. And I'm telling you this morning, don't wait until it's too late. Get right with God today and let the Lord have his way in your life. I hear a painful cry, but number two, I hear a pressing charge. Notice what came to him in verse number 25. But Abraham said, son, remember.
What a charge. That thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, likewise Lazarus evil things, but now he's comforted and thou art tormented. Notice and listen as Abraham speaks in regard and response to the painful cry of the rich man. Two words, son, remember. You know one of the worst things that it has to be in hell? You know one of the worst things that it just has to be? I'm talking about one of them. It has to be that the Bible plainly teaches that those people have a memory. They have a memory. And what I'm saying to you is this. If there's one person, by the way, this is a message, if you're lost, this is for one person. You see, it's worth me preaching this in a crowd this size for one person. On the flip side of it, it's worth me preaching this to Christians because we need a fresh glimpse of hell. So we pack our pockets full of gospel tracts. Do you realize if we really believe what hell really is, there would never have to be a message on it preached again? Did you hear what I just said? Do you really believe in hell? Before you answer, how many people did you tell about Christ this week? Because that's really what you believe. That's convicting. I know it. It convicts me. We all need to do better. Amen? Every one of us. What I'm saying to you here is that if somebody's under the sound of my voice in this message, and in your heart you know this is what you need, you know there's not been a time in your life when you've trusted Christ. If you died right now, you have a concern in your heart that you would go to this place called hell. Listen to me. God will not force you to trust Christ. He will not do it. He will not force you to get saved. It's your decision. You can say yes, you can say no, but I say this. If you say no and you die like that and you go to hell, you will remember this message for all eternity. And how torturous must that be? A pressing charge. Son, remember. Remember. And then there's a third thing I hear. And that is, I hear a permanent condition. I hear a painful cry, a pressing charge, but I also hear a permanent condition. Look at verse 26. And beside all this, between us and you, there's a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Abraham continues by saying his condition, as well as Lazarus' condition, is a permanent one. The Roman Catholic Church teaches that there's a place called purgatory. I'll eat my Bible if somebody can come here and prove that to me. I'll eat it. That's not true. That's a man-made doctrine, folks. You know what purgatory is? When you carry it out to its logical conclusion, it's work salvation. Because they believe you can go to purgatory until you earn it, and then you can go to heaven. That's not Bible salvation. Bible salvation, there's two destinations. That's it, heaven, hell. Which one are you going to? Period. There's no in between. And whichever one you go to, you're there permanently. So if you go to heaven, you're there permanently. But if you go to hell, that's also a permanent condition. The Bible says there's a great gulf fixed. The Bible uses the word cannot. They cannot pass to you. You cannot pass over here. Matthew 25:46 says everlasting punishment, talking about hell. Hebrews 6:2, talking about hell, eternal judgment. It's everlasting. It's eternal. It's forever. There will be no escape. I give you this illustration here. I've given this several times in this church. When Curtis Hudson was a young boy, he was living in the Atlanta area or whatever the case may be. Now, he's in heaven now, but he tells a story that when he was in his living room, his mother was in the kitchen, and they heard all these horrific screams just all of a sudden start coming over the radio. And he said, as a young boy, he said, I ran into the kitchen. And he said, Mom, is it the end of the world? Is it the end of the world? He's just a little thing. He thought it was the end of the world. His mother said, honey, he said, no. She said, but rather the Wyckoff Hotel's on fire in downtown Atlanta. And he said, they're broadcasting this live. So all these screams you hear are people that are burning or whatever and jumping out of the buildings. He said, people were jumping out of the high buildings and some of their bodies were landing in power wires. They were being electrocuted to death. I'm not trying to be crude. I'm just trying to share something with you. He said some of them were landing in trees and limbs were protruding, were just going through their bodies. But he said as a young boy, he said, I heard somebody screaming on the radio.
I heard somebody screaming,
"This is hell! This is hell!"
Curtis Hudson said, "That's not hell, folks, because there's no windows there." See, those people were jumping to get out. But you go to hell, there is no escape. Shame on God's Christians for not telling our neighbors and telling our community and telling our state and telling our world that there's no escape. I'm not trying to be crude here either. I'm just trying to prove a point to you. When the World Trade Centers were struck back in 2001, some of you may remember this story, that when the plane had already struck the World Trade Centers, they zoomed in apparently. I didn't see this myself. I've just been told about it. They zoomed in on a couple, a man and woman, that was standing 98 stories up in the air. 98 stories. And they... I'm talking about the windows had been shattered out, and they are at the edge looking 98 stories down. And as they were zooming in on these people, they showed them apparently grab hands. And that young man and that young lady jumped. Now I want to ask you a question. Do you think they thought at all that they would survive that jump? There's no way, folks. But here's my question. Why'd they jump? Let me tell you why. Because they didn't want the fire to get them. They'd rather take their chances and jump 98 stories up than to burn alive. Oh, it's quiet in here. It should be. It should be. Because that is where lost people are going. I'm convicted. I need to be doing so much more. May God help us with this. There's a fourth thing I hear. You know, I feel like the Holy Spirit has just given a hush today. That's a good thing. You know what I've noticed? I've noticed when the Lord shows up, don't take this wrong, but I notice when the Lord shows up, people shut up. Some people think, you know, now granted, a lot of times I cry when I feel this presence of the Lord. Some people shout, nothing wrong with any of that. But I have noticed that when the Lord's presence is really real, people are quiet. Now that doesn't mean you can't say amen from here on out, okay? That doesn't mean you can't raise your hand and praise the Lord. But I'm saying when there's a holy hush like this, I sense it in my heart, God is working. There's a fourth thing I hear, and that's a pleading concern. Look at verse number 27. Then he said, the rich man, I pray thee therefore. Now, what's he saying therefore? Because there's no hope for him, remember? Verse 26, he's there forever. There's no hope for him. He said, I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send into my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. He said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went of them from the dead, they will repent. They will repent. Now this is a powerful thought here, and that is this. When the rich beggar realized that there was no hope for him, he began to beg for his family, who was still living. And he was pleading, his pleading concern, there it is, he was pleading for their salvation. See, here's something I've learned. According to Scripture, those who are in hell don't want others to come. If you have a mother in hell right now, she's pleading that she'll say yes to Christ. If you have a grandparent there, they're pleading that you as their grandchild will say yes to Christ. There is a pleading concern from those who are burning under our feet right now. I wonder how many may have somebody in hell right now who's calling your name. This is such a sobering thought. How many might, I'm talking about listening right here today. You've come in this auditorium, you're not sure you're saved, you know you're lost, whatever the case may be. Could it be that there's somebody in your family, you may not even have met them, but they died without Christ and they're burning. And they're pleading,
Somebody tell them. Somebody plead with them. And I'm telling you, as a preacher of the Holy Word of God, I am trying to answer the prayers of some burning people today. God wants to save your soul. If you'll let Him. Pleading concern. And this is something Christians need to get a glimpse of. I wonder, Christian, are you as concerned about lost people as those burning in hell are right now? Boy, that convicts me. One reason I know I'm called to preach, a lot of reasons, but one reason I know is because my preaching convicts me. I have people coming to me and say, boy, you stepped on my feet. I say, join the crowd, folks. It's good when you get your feet stepped on. We need to do more for God. We need to tell more people about Christ. We need to knock more doors and get more bus routes started and get these kids in here and these teenagers in here and these adults in here and these seniors in here. Why? There's a real hell, that's why. I'm stirred up about this thing. I want to see people saved. And these people in hell want to see them saved too. It's a powerful thought. And there's a fifth thing, and that is I hear a pointed conclusion. In this conversation, we have heard a painful cry, a pressing charge, a permanent condition, a pleading concern, and then a pointed conclusion. Look at verse 29. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let him hear them. Translated now today, are you listening to me? That's the word of God. Moses is the Pentateuch, first five books of the Bible. And the prophets. He's referring to the word of God here. Let them hear them. Notice what he said in verse 30. Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went of them from the dead, they would repent. Now notice the pointed conclusion in verse 31. And he, Abraham, said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. That's a pointed conclusion to me. And what he's saying here is this. Here's this rich man. He has been rich in this life. He neglected everything else. He is not a child of God, and he died that way and became a beggar in eternity. He is begging. He is in pain, the painful cry, the pressing charge comes back and says, you remember. You remember. And he says, by the way, this is a permanent condition. He turns his pleading to his family, and Abraham says, they have the Bible. Let them hear it. And he said, no, the Bible's not enough. But let Lazarus go back. Because if they see one raised from the dead, they'll repent. But not everybody at Lazarus' resurrection, whenever the Lord raised him. Are you listening to me? They didn't all believe. And he said, here's the pointed conclusion. If they don't listen to God's word, they will not be persuaded any other way. Now, I'm telling you something. The Word of God teaches that we've all sinned in Romans 3:23. The Word of God teaches that sin must be paid for in Romans 6:23. The Word of God teaches that Jesus Christ lived a perfect, sinless life, and He died in my place and your place. And the Word of God teaches that if you personally receive Christ as your Savior, you will go to heaven. You reject Him, you go to hell. The bottom line is if you do not believe God's word, you will not be persuaded. And I'm asking, do you believe the Bible? If you do, there's nothing going to stop you from trusting Christ, folks. Nothing. If you really believe that death could come at any moment, Proverbs 27:1, and you really believe that if you die in that position, you're going to hell right there. If you really believe that, you wouldn't care what anybody in this auditorium thought about you. You'd come make sure you're saved. Amen. Now, in this true story, we have two rich beggars. Lazarus wasn't rich in this world. He was a beggar. But he was rich in eternity. The rich man wasn't poor in this world. He was rich. But he became a beggar in eternity. And I want to ask you this question. Are you rich in eternity? Are you rich in eternity? Are you a child of God?
The only thing standing between you and eternity is the certainty of death. That's it. That's the progression of the message. I don't know if you saw that or not. But you see a contrast in this life. You see a conversation in eternity, but right in the middle of it was the certainty of death. You catch it. The only thing between point one and point three is death. And you don't know when that's going to take place. And I wonder, have you heard the conversation that the Lord recorded for us? Have you taken heed to it? Will you believe God's word? The devil would like nothing better than to see you burn in hell. And one way he does this is he tries to make you think that this is old-fashioned, this is no longer true, it never was true, this Bible here is full of a bunch of contradictions and lies. The interesting thing about it are those who say that, they can't prove one of them. There's no contradictions in here. There's no lies in this book. And I'm telling you, if you're lost, he wants to save your soul today. But if you're saved, don't tune me out. This message ought to motivate every one of us to go by the track rack and pick up tracks and put them in our pockets, your purse, whatever. And when we go out and about today, we realize this person could be going to hell. Let me give them the gospel. This message is for all of us. What's God wanting you to do? Two rich beggars. Let's all bow our heads together and close your eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, please take this and use it. It's not easy to preach on hell, but it is necessary. And Lord, I believe you've used this message. I really do. I pray you have. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. Father, I pray again here that you help me to be clean and there'll be nothing to hinder you at all. Your heads are bowed, your eyes are closed. As soon as they get prepared, they're going to begin to play through softly. I'm going to ask you a question. Where are you going when you die? Where are you going when you die? How many of you know without a doubt? Now listen, you can lie to me, but you cannot lie to God. I'm not going to judge you. He is. How many of you know with a surety? You don't hope so. You don't think so. You know so. There has been a time in your life when you have trusted Christ and Christ alone. You're not hoping to go to heaven. You know you're going to heaven. You're not relying on your good works. You're not relying on your baptism. You say, I have trusted Christ and Christ alone. I am a born-again child of God. I am rich in eternity. I am going to heaven. No doubt, I'm going to heaven because I've done what the Bible has said to do. I've trusted Christ and Christ alone. If you know that without a doubt, would you raise your hand in the air with mine, please? Only if you know that for sure. God bless you. Thank you. Thank you. You can put your hands right back down. Is there one today? Now, I want to say this to you. That if you raise your hand to this next question, I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to point you out. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just need to know how to proceed with the invitation. Is there one today? Say, Jody, if I died today, just like I am, I would have to be honest and say that I am concerned that I would go lake of fire. I would go to hell. And you say, Jody, I don't want that. But I, in my own heart, I know I need to make sure that heaven is my home. Is there one or more like that today? You say, Jody, pray for me. God bless you. Somebody else, would you put your hand up? God bless you. You put your hand right back down. Somebody else? God bless you. Thank you. Somebody else? Yes, thank you. Somebody else, put your hand up, put it right back down. Anybody else along with these two or three? Anybody else? Anybody else? I'm looking. My eyes are surfing. If you raise your hand to that, I want you to do me a favor. Would you sit back and look at me just a moment? Would you do that? If you raise your hand to that, I want you to sit back and look at me just a moment. I don't know your heart. And nobody knows who I'm talking to. This is just us. I'm not going to come to your seat. I'm not going to embarrass you. I just want to speak to you just a moment. I can't look at you and say you're a Christian. Do you understand that, right? I can't do that. But God is speaking for something. It's either you're lost or you're doubting. It's one of the two. You see what I'm saying? And either one of them you need to make sure of. You understand?
understand what I'm saying? Because if you have trusted the Lord, or let's just say you're doubting, if that's the case, you need to get assurance of that and nail it down. But it could be that you're lost. This is what you need. You know it, don't you? Are you seated beside somebody that you know? Are you? Are you seated beside somebody you know? Are you? Good. I'm gonna try to help you with this. You don't have to do this, but this is something that I try to offer to you to help make it just a little bit easier on you. See what I'm saying? If you're seated beside somebody that you know, and because in just a moment, I'm gonna ask you to respond. Okay? The heads are gonna be bowed and eyes are gonna be closed. We're gonna take a man with a man, a lady with a lady. And I'm gonna tell you something, I won't let anything in this world keep me seated. Nothing. By the way, what I'm asking you to do, somebody asked me to do many years ago. And I did. And I thank God for it. You'll never regret doing this. You'll only regret if you don't. Do you understand what I'm saying? If you want to bring somebody with you right now, I want you to poke them. You don't have to do this, but if you get poked, I want you to look up here at me, please. If you get poked, I want you to look right up here at me. If you're looking at me, I want you to come with them. The reason I do that is because they didn't have to poke you, but for some reason they did, and that means they're calling out for a little bit of help, and you can help them by coming. I hope you'll do this. I hope you'll do this. God, help you. No doubt about it. Let's all stand together, please. Our heads are bowed, our eyes are closed. Father, take this, use this in a mighty, mighty way in Jesus' name. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Nobody's looking. Right now, if you just raise your hand saying, I need to make sure of this, I want to give you an opportunity to respond first. Then I'm trusting that all kinds of Christians, I hope, will come forward and say, I need to do a better job in soul winning. Right now's your time. Right now's your time. I want you to come. May the Lord help you. May the Lord help you with this. No doubt about it. May God help you. Amen. Now's your time. We're going to begin to deal with some Christians here in just a moment. May the Lord help you with this. God bless you. Just a moment, I'm going to ask another question to Christians. And that is this. Are you living in such a way that you believe that there's a hell? I'm asking you, what are you doing to keep others out of it? Now, I'm going to tell you something. This is my heartbeat. As your pastor, I'm going to be pushing this and pushing this and pushing this and pushing this and pushing it until the Lord calls me home. God saved us to serve. He wants you to tell others about Christ. And there are people that you can reach that nobody else can. Of course, you're the only Christian there. You see what I'm saying? They may never come to a church, but you work with them. You go to school with them, young people. You play ball with them. You have them over to your house. They're in your own family, whatever. The Lord's been working in this. Maybe you need to respond and say, God, thank you for speaking to me. Matter of fact, why don't you just bow your head there just for a moment. Maybe say, Jody, I'm a Christian, but I'm going to be honest. God is speaking to me in this. God is speaking to me. You're a Christian, but God is speaking to you. You raise your hand, be an honest person. God is speaking to you. Yes. God bless you. Maybe you feel that you'd like to leave your place. Say, God, help me. Help me with this. Help me to be better. Help me to be a better witness.
gospel tracks out, whatever the case may be. If you feel like God's in it, come on, come on. Maybe you say, Jody, I'm a Christian, and I know somebody in my life who's on their way to this place. You know somebody who's on their way. Be honest. Would you raise your hand? Be honest. You know somebody on their way. If you got your hand raised, I want you to lower it. I want you to look at me just a moment. Would you do that? Put your hands down. Thank you. The message today is, what are you doing about it? Maybe you're doing everything you can. This is no way the message that says you need to get out and do it, because you may be doing that. And if you are, this ought to encourage you to try it again. You see what I'm saying? This ought to encourage you to try it again. So they've said no all along. Well, big deal, man. Go get them again. Because eternity is a long time. May the Lord help you with this. God help us. Maybe some of you would like to come and pray. Brother Gary, let's sing that next verse there together. Church where God is working. You understand what I'm saying? We're in a church where God is moving. And he's at work in this place. And we want him to have free reign, you know? And this is the message that God laid on my heart. And I want you to know, as your pastor, I'm trying to follow the Lord. If you'll tell me what to preach, I'll preach it. If you'll tell me what to do, I'll do it. I covet your prayers. I need your prayers, and I love you. I don't want that just to be words. That's my heart speaking. I love you. I care about you. I want God's best for you. And I'm telling you, we have a great place here. We don't want to take it for granted. Amen. The Lord is working and moving. Give him all the glory, all the praise. No doubt about it. Wonderful. Miss Katrina Peters, if you wouldn't mind to stand. Miss Seaman, if you'll stand with her there, please. She's come today and she wants to rededicate her life to Christ. That is a wonderful decision. We're thrilled you're here. Hope you'll stay here with us, okay? God bless you. You may be seated. Barbara Brown, would you stand, please? This is Miss Brown, and she's coming today. If understand this right, you have accepted Christ as your personal Savior today. Amen. So the best you know how, you've just received the Lord to come into your heart and life, correct? You're not in front of the principal. We are thrilled you're here. God bless you. Have you happy for us? Say a big amen. Amen. You may be seated. Janine Darrow, if you wouldn't mind to stand. Janine has been saved, correct? And you're coming today to rededicate your life to Christ. And you desire to be a member of this church and join by baptism. That's thrilling. And we are so happy about this. We're thrilled you're here. Is this your first time? Second time? I've been gone a little while, so forgive me. We're thrilled you're here. God bless you. We'll take care of this in just a moment, okay? You can be seated. May the Lord help you. Amen. This is Mr. Roger Duncan. Mr. Duncan lost his mother this week. And she died on my dad's birthday, July the 7th. My dad's here. And so on. We had the privilege of conducting that funeral. And he is coming, and he has been saved and baptized, but he says, I am ready to become a member of this church. So he's coming by letter, correct? He's coming by statement. He's coming by statement. So we have Brother Duncan, who's coming by statement, and Miss Janine Darrow, who wants to join our church by baptism. Okay? What's the pleasure of the church in this? Could I get a motion that we receive both of these? Brother Steve Matney, a second. Brother Bob Edwards, all in favor, say aye. Raise your hand high. Aye. All opposed, same sign. So carry. One more, we'll be on our way, okay? Christopher Dennis, you wouldn't mind to stand. Which one? Which one's Christopher? The little one here, right? Great. So Christopher is coming today. The best you know how, you're receiving the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. Happy for them. Say a big amen. Glad you came today. I'm glad I came. Praise the Lord for it. No doubt about it. God bless you. You can be seated. These folks are going to be up front as soon as we dismiss. If you want to come by and shake their hand and thank the Lord for working today, you come by. And I hope that we have to hire a staff member to keep the track rack in stock. Amen. Let's give the gospel out. Think you'll be glad you did. You see Jesus? Sure. So let's do it. Amen. God bless you. Yes. Sure. Sure. You go right ahead. I'll pay you later, okay, brother? Amen. Oh, my, you know. Well, it's been a great day, a precious day. I trust you'll be back in the Lord's house tonight. Prayer meeting at 6:10. That's anybody's welcome to come to that in the chapel. I hope you'll be there. It'd be great. Come praying for the teenagers tonight. Let's all stand together, please, shall we? Please come by and shake these folks' hands. I'm going to ask Brother Larry Trent, sir, if you wouldn't mind to dismiss us in prayer, please.